message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the time, many even among the leaders believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me. I have come to the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my word but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that this command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for your holy and precious word. And Lord, as we begin to explore this passage, Lord, from the prophet Isaiah, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the words of the men and women who wanted to believe but wanted praise from men more than they wanted praise from God. Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be moved to the truth, and Father, that you will help our hearts to hear and to understand your words of truth so we can apply to our lives and live a life that truly brings praise to you, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. But last week, if you can recall, those of you who may have been here, but even if you were here, that's okay. We started chapter 12, and we explored the value and honor of Jesus. This week, we're going to explore John 12, 37 through 50. And maybe may seem like we're skipping, but in actuality, last Palm Sunday, we studied John chapter 12, verses 12 through 36. On March 25th, we discovered three truths. We discovered the intrigue, we discovered the revealing, and we discover the reality of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest truths that we discovered during that sermon when he made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem was his statement, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be." So, you know, as we think about that passage, as preparing for today's message, are you a servant of Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you ready to be where Jesus is? That one verse that I just read talks about those type of focuses. This. In today's passage, we see a struggle that's occurring among the Jews. In verses 37 through 41, we see the highlight of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, specifically those in prophet Isaiah. Some wanted to believe, but they were afraid, and if they expressed their belief, then the Pharisees would remove them from the synagogue. And we have seen that countless times before. We saw the blind man who was actually kicked out of the synagogue. We saw the threats that the Pharisees had, the intimidations that they made to try to persuade people to go away from the truths of Jesus, because if they did, they would then attack them in certain ways. And so these folks who wanted to believe in Jesus were more afraid of man than they were from the protection of God himself. Some wanted to believe, but they were afraid if they expressed their belief that the Pharisees would kick them out of the synagogue. And that may not seem like a big deal to us, but as we have looked through this passages before, we have discovered that this life of the Jew in the synagogue was very, very important, because it was not only where they received religious education, but they also had an extension of their social life through the synagogue and their familial relationships through the synagogue. And so if you took that away from a Jew's life, you're actually taking away not only the religion, but you're also taking about their social and their family life as well. So it was a big fear for them. But verse 43 really points out the real problem. Not a problem of fear, but this is what the issue was. In verse 43, "For they loved human praise more than the praise from God." You know, I wish we could say that that's simply a problem that the early believers had, because we certainly would never encounter such today. But really, is that the case? Because I suspect that many of us sometimes will watch our Christian witness around our workplace or around our social activities with people that may not have the Christian backgrounds that we have, and sometimes we're afraid to say a whole lot because we're afraid that that might put them off in a wrong, different way of thinking about us or about something that we represent. And as a result, we just keep silent because we're afraid. We're more interested in the praise of the people that are around our social circles and bringing praise to God. Heaven help us if that falls into place, but nonetheless, that's a real temptation that begins to occur. So what source of praise do you prefer? Are you a man pleaser, as Petra would suggest in their song? Or are you a God pleaser, another antithesis of that in that song? What source of praise do you prefer? Well, if you follow along in our bulletin, there's a couple fill-in-the-blanks there with our sermon notes. And let's look at that real quickly. Those who seek praise from God, first of all, believe in Jesus and who sent him. So not only is it that Jesus that they're believing in, but they're also believing in the one who sent them. Well, who is it that sent Jesus? Well, I think we kind of know that. It's God the Father who sent Jesus the Son. So let's look at verses 44 and 45. Then Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who sent me." C.S. Lewis shares in A Grief Observed, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or its falsehoods become a matter of life and death." It's easy to say you believe in a rope to be strong as long as you merely are using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that same rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it? You know, sometimes we say we trust God. Sometimes we say we believe in God. But the actions that we have really shows that it's really not really all that sincere. What do you believe about Jesus and the one who sent him? See, to believe in Jesus is to believe that he is the Son of God. Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? You know, there is a resounding pattern throughout John. We're known about the reflections of light throughout the book of John. It's referred to as that book about light, which is Jesus and coming into the world and being that light. But what you'll see also is a resounding theme about the word believe. Jesus emphasized believing in him countless times that we see through here. And here again, this message today doesn't change anything. Do you really believe in Jesus? Do you really believe in the Father? Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only." You see, there's a whole package deal that comes along with Jesus. Do you really trust God? C.H. Spurgeon claimed that 98% of the people he met, including the criminals he visited in England's prisons, told him that they believed the Bible to be true. But the vast majority had never made a personal, life-changing commitment to Jesus Christ. For them, believe was not an active verb. Now, that's pretty powerful, really, because now we're getting really at the crux of an understanding of what people think, because as long as they can say lip service to things and say they believe in it and not have to show they believe in it, well, they can say all kinds of different things. And that's exactly what C.H. Spurgeon was running into back 100 plus years ago. But sometimes that's exactly what we discover today as well. We can say a lot of things with our hearts or with our mouths, but God doesn't really care as much what comes out of our mouth. He wants what comes out of our hearts. And if we don't have that heart commitment to him, there is a major problem. God the Father sent Jesus the Son from heaven to earth for the salvation for mankind, if only they would repent of their sin, accept Jesus' life, death, and blood sacrifice on the cross, and his glorious resurrection, and believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Do you believe in Jesus and God the Father that sent him? Is your belief an active verb? Is your belief in Jesus an active verb? To believe in Jesus, we must believe in all what Jesus is saying in these two verses. We have to believe in Jesus the Son. We must believe in the one who sent him, which is God the Father. That's what Jesus said, isn't it? You have to believe in the Son and the Father. Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, is what Jesus said. We also believe in the one that sent him. When we seek praise from God, it starts when we believe. Believe in Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. And we believe in God the Father. And when we believe in the true living God, we're not seeking the praise of man. We seek the praise of God. You see, when we're more involved in the active verb of believing in Jesus and God the Father, then we're not worried about what man's saying, because we're involved in the activity of showing God his belief. And when we're showing him, we're seeking the praise of God. We seek the praise from God. And when we believe in God, we will do what God says. When we are obedient to the commands of God, God is well pleased. Just like Petra, don't we long to hear my father say, "Well done, well done." If you want to hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," then believe in Jesus. Not just lip service, but heart service as well. Believe in the active verb tense of believe in Jesus. We must repent and we must do his commands. That leads us to our second point. Those who seek praise from God live in light. I shared with you about the themes of John, one being light. Here we see that light, but we also see the theme prior to that about believe. Jesus is resounding command about believing in him. Verse 46 says, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." When we believe in Jesus and the Father, we give up the darkness of sin and come to the light of Jesus Christ. Now, in our society today, we're often, in fact, right before church, I was speaking with a couple that we were talking about how the world has taken and flipped upside down the things that are evil and are trying to say that they're good. And the things that are good, according to God's word, the world is saying that it's evil. You know, when we see those type of things, that's a real issue and a real concern for us. But that's darkness. Light is Jesus. The light is the word of God. The light is God the Father. Light truly makes a difference when it exposes the darkness. Making decisions in the dark can lead to some regrettable consequences. Back in the day before electricity, there is an old tight-fisted old farmer that was taking his hired hand to task for carrying a lighted lantern when he was going to go call on his girlfriend. And the old farmer said, "Well, you know, when I was your age, I never took a light. I just went out there in the dark and just found my way there and got to her." And of course, that hired hand had to turn around and tell him, said, "Yeah, and look what you got." You know, the light in the darkness reveals things. And sometimes it's not what we expect it to be. But that's how it really can be sometimes. You know, we should not live in darkness. Sometimes we try to hide our sins in the darkness. Psalms chapter 90, verse 8 says, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." You know, sometimes, friends, when we recognize that Jesus is the light and we are to be children of light, we'll talk about in Ephesians here in just a moment, we recognize that sometimes we believe that those sins that we commit in the darkness of our own privacy will never be exposed to the light, that nobody will ever know. And, you know, the possibility that there may not be another person who will ever know, but I will assure you this, there's nothing that gets past God. Those sins in the darkness of secret are made light in God's presence. So he does know. There is never a secret sin with God. He knows our hearts, and he knows that when sin begins to encroach upon our life, it has an impact in our life. Sometimes those secret sins encroach upon our lives so that we can receive the praise of man, so that we can hang out with them and do what the world does and live like the world and think that we can get by with it. But that type of sins of darkness comes to light in God, according to Psalm chapter 90, verse 8. And there's other passages that tells about that. Nothing is hidden from God. Jesus is light, and he has come to this earth to be light. If we believe in him, we should not stay in darkness as Christians. And sometimes that's a struggle for people because we want to believe in Jesus. We want to believe in eternal life, and those are all true. But in order to do that, the scriptures are very clear. Jesus is also very clear that we have to repent and stay away. We can no longer continue to live in sin. Remember John the Baptist and the preaching that he had done with when people were coming to him. He was preaching repentance. And Jesus then took up from that moment of that precursor of the Messiah and continue to preach repentance. And so we cannot continue to live in sin and live for Jesus. It's two opposite things, and we can't go two different directions and end up in the same place. If we want to go with Jesus and be his servant, we must follow him and do what Jesus does, and Jesus doesn't sin. And we must understand that there's times when we will make mistakes, but there are times when we choose lifestyle of sin, which is absolutely opposite of who we are as Christians. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 tells us this: for you were once darkness, but you're not darkness anymore, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light. You see, the beautiful passage that Pat read right before our last song that we sang together reminds us that we are new creatures in Jesus Christ. Before Christ, we did live in darkness, and that's how we lived our life. But because of Jesus Christ, we are no longer living in darkness. We are now a new creature, a new creation. We no longer desire to please the world. We're desiring to please God the Father. When we believe in Jesus and the Father, and when we live in the light of Christ, we are seeking the praise of God. Our final point is this. Those who seek the praise from God seeks salvation. Let's look at verses 47 through 50. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all the things that I've spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Jesus Christ said that he has came to save the earth. He has not come to judge it. He isn't out nitpicking and looking for the things that we have done wrong so he can nail our hide to the wall. Sometimes we feel like that's how life is, that Jesus is just out looking to get us. But that's not the truth. That's not why he came. He knows that we struggle with the carnality of our life and the old sinful struggles that we have. He knows all of that. But that's not, he didn't come to make us feel guilty about that. He came to transform us so that he can save us from that and gives us eternal life. There will be a time in the last day that Jesus will be a righteous judge. So don't take this out of context and say, oh, Jesus will never judge us. Oh, yes, there will be a time and final judgment when Jesus will judge. And he will be the righteous judge. And it's not righteousness based on what we think to be the right. It is righteousness in accordance with God. God's truth, God's righteousness, and God's justice. And Jesus will be called upon to be that judge. But that's not the purpose of why he came to earth. He came to earth so that we won't have to worry about eternal damnation. He wants to offer us a place of eternal life in him and through him. Jesus didn't come to the earth to make everyone struggle and guilt for the wrongdoings. He came to provide the opportunity to repent of our sins so that we might be saved. You know, we shouldn't be so afraid of dying in sin and going to hell that that's the reason why we come. Although if that's what motivated you, that's between you and the Lord. But God offers us something more than that. He offers us the hope of eternal life and the joy of a relationship with Jesus. All the benefits is why he really offers us salvation. Not for all the stuff that we will have to be able to lose out for. That's a kind of icing on the cake, not going to hell. But the beauty of coming to Christ is that we live for Jesus and we have a relationship with God from that moment through all eternity. If we choose to give up a life of sin and live for Jesus and receive his salvation, God is pleased. And that's the true purpose of why Jesus came, so that we could repent of the sin and come to him. It's not God's desire that man perish, but that's exactly what will happen if they refuse to accept Jesus. It's not God's desire. It is God's desire that they repent and they believe. Are you tired of the judgment from the world? Then come to Jesus, who has come to save. God offers salvation, and those that seek it receive praise from God. So what source of praise do you prefer? Are you seeking the praise and accolades from the people in this world, or are you seeking the praise from God? I'm going to ask right now if you stand to your feet and bow your head as the musicians come. They'll be playing softly, no one looking around. This is between you and the Lord. That's all. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you believe in Jesus? And remember, we define that believe as an active verb. It's got action, takes action, believing in Jesus. Do you believe in the one that sent him? Jesus has come into the dark world to offer the light of salvation. Are you living in the darkness of sin? And you know that that's just not where you want to be anymore. Well, Jesus has offered you the hope to come out, but sometimes we get so struggled with the old ways of life that we have that we don't always know how to break out. And the truth is this, that sometimes it's okay that we don't know how, but we got to trust God in faith, and he'll help us out through that. Jesus has come to the dark world to offer the light of salvation. Do you want the darkness more than the light of Christ? As Christians, we are to be children of light. And that's not Brother Allen saying this. This is what the scripture said. I just read you that passage out of Ephesians. And that's the truth. And it comes from God and his word. Do you realize that Jesus came to offer salvation? See, you don't have to live in regret. You don't have to live in guilt. You don't have to live in fear that somebody's going to find you out. God already knows. He just asks you to come to him and give it to him so that he can take that burden of sin, wipe you clean through the blood of Jesus, and let you live a free life. See, he wants to save you. God does not want to condemn you. When we seek the praise of God, we believe in God the Son, we believe in God the Father. We choose to live in the light of Jesus, not in the darkness of sin, and we seek and receive salvation through Jesus Christ. So friends, are you seeking the praise of God? If you're struggling with that, will you come to salvation today through Jesus? I'll be here in just a moment to pray with you, to receive you for that. Maybe you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and you haven't been fulfilling the commands that Christ had, because as soon as we're made disciples, he tells us to baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Maybe you've been struggling with the commands that Jesus has given to you. Well, if you do, come today and claim what God has offered you to accept. Perhaps today you have another burden. Perhaps it has nothing to do with you. Perhaps it has something to do with that best friend that you have, with that family member that you have that's struggling without a relationship with Jesus, and your heart is burdened. Give that burden over to the Lord, and don't give up praying. Be consistent and be persistent in your prayers for those who are unsaved, so that they may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Who is it that you want to seek praise from? Do you seek praise from this world? Or is it as Jesus desires for you, that you bring praise to God? Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord, and thank you so much for the power of your word. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of decision, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we can move forward with that today. But if there's someone here today that needs to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, give them the courage to step forward and allow us to pray and to not leave here without knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord of their life. But if there's anyone struggling with following believers' baptism or uniting with this church, or they have another burden on their heart, Lord, give us the courage to step forward so that we can come out free people from this church, knowing that we are following your command and pleasing you. We thank you and praise the name of Christ to pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
414.
If you need to make a decision, I invite you to come right now.
Simply and tenderly, Jesus is Christ.
you so much for being in God's house today. And a couple of things that we've been reminded of. Got a busy week, but it starts tonight, actually. Sarah, you want to share with us about tonight? Very good, very good. So if you can come, come be a part of that. And I know there's also a Shonda Pierce concert at Concord. I know many of you are going to be going to that, so you enjoy that. But if you're not going there, come back tonight and enjoy the Christian fellowship and fun that we'll have with the kids today, tonight. Also, throughout this week, Monday night Bible study, we'll be studying Revelations, men. If there's any guys who would like to come, come and be a part of that. And Tuesday, got a ball game? And kind of a big deal, too, isn't it?
It is, extremely big. The 8:30 game, if we win our 7:30 game, the 8:30 game will be for the league.
Championship. Well, cool. Yeah. So they've had a pretty good season this year. So
we're guaranteed second place.
Guaranteed second place. There you go. But it's all about the fellowship, and we've made some good relationships with some other folks to come. Wednesday, we have our Wednesday night program. Starts at 5:30 with a meal. Come and be a part of that, and then we'll have Awanas and youth and adult programming as well. Also, Wednesday is See You at the Pole, right? Yep, yes. Is there? You know what time we're going to meet at the pole yet? Yeah, we'll find out. Well, school buses got to get there first. So as soon as the school buses get there, maybe we can line up there. So be cool. So I'd be praying for the kids. In fact, Tuesday night, we might send out a prayer chain. We might be able to have some opportunities for us to do some prayer walking for the school for Tuesday night. If you are free to be able to do that as well. Anything else in anyone's hearts and minds that we need to be reminded of? Pat? No choir practice tonight, but be planning on from now on. Very good. Very good. All right. Yes. Aaron?
Just 3 weeks away, October 13th, is a hayride, winning roast, s'mores, hot chocolate.
Cool.
We'll have lots of tractors and wagons.
Awesome. Good deal. It'll be a lot of fun. Always is, every year. It's good. Good deal. Anything else? All right. Well, if not, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. And Don Kennedy, could you dismiss us in prayer?